This show is a member of the Sorgatron Media Podcast Network. Find out more at sorgatronmedia.com. This show is brought to you by IndieWrestling.us. Check out IWC, RWA, and more. And listeners like you, support this show at patreon.com/wrestlingmayhemshow. It is the Indie Mayhem Show. I'm Mike Sorg at Sorgatron on the Twitter here in the Sorgatron Media Studios in the Beachview neighborhood of Pittsburgh, PA, as the trains roll by here and the taco stand is smelling awesome. Of course, this is the show where we talk with people in and around independent professional wrestling or just pro wrestling in general. And we have a lot of fun here and get to know some of the people in the area, outside of the area, and just people that like wrestling. So you can check out everything at WrestlingMayhemShow.com, including recent past shenanigans and other things going on, including the past interviews for the 190 plus episodes of this that we have been doing. You can drop us a line at goodtimes@WrestlingMayhemShow.com or at 412-206-WMS0. If you have any questions, comments, or if you have anybody you think you'd like us to chat with in the near future, let us know there. And of course, thank you to our Patreon supporters at patreon.com/WrestlingMayhemShow that are helping keep the lights on here in this fancy new studio that we have. So this is somebody I've wanted to talk to for a while on here. And we've had one portion of the Neon Blondes on this show and previous iterations of this show before. But with us this week is Danny Mo joining us in studio. Hello.
How are you?
Hello. Now, like I say, you're part of the, you and Facade are the Neon Blondes, right?
Yep, that we are.
So I felt like it was only appropriate. We have some fun here. If I can be an honorary member of the Neon Blondes for the evening.
I think for today, especially since I'm missing my man. So you can join in.
There you go. So while Facade is in India. Almost got my countries mixed up. It's India now, right?
India. He's in India.
According to Facebook,
apparently.
Like, there you go. There you go. Somebody just stopped and looked at me as I was putting the hair on outside
little
the window.
Kid.
As my wife comes in and says, "What is happening here?" No, this isn't like the STD Christmas special. I'm part of the Neon Blondes right now, honorarily for this interview. So, and she walks away. But anyways, oh, there's kids outside and everything.
Hi.
It was a perfect time for this. But anyways, how you doing, Danny?
Good. I'm doing good.
So, so people that know you as, you know, managing Facade, mm-hmm. For the most part, I think, right?
Yes, I believe that's the best way to describe it. Just always with him. I used to just hang out behind the merchandise. Then I move my way up right there with him.
Here, I'm getting distracted by my nose getting tickled by this thing. This is it goes on audio. It is the Enzo hair that's usually floating around the Wrestling Mayhem show a bit.
It looks fun.
But anyways, so I like to start with a little get to know you question for the people on the show. So What is your earliest memory of professional wrestling?
Honestly, I got in trouble in track in college, and I went back to my room, and I had a bunch of homework to do, and obviously we had cable, we had a house and stuff, and I just turned the TV on, and wrestling was legit on in the background as I was doing my homework, and I was just like, oh, why did I do that to get in trouble? So that, like, was probably the first time I remembered, like, seeing wrestling.
Interesting. And it was just kind of something that was on, right?
Yeah, I don't know who was on. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I didn't even realize there was storylines or anything like that. But wrestling was on my TV mm-hmm. the day I got in trouble with track. And I went back to my room like, oh.
So it wasn't necessarily that you latched on to it. It was just held, it just had an early presence in your life.
Yeah, so that was like 2010.
Mm-hmm. So from that, like, how did you actually kind of get into liking pro wrestling?
Michael.
Facade.
Facade. Sorry. Facade. I had no idea, especially indie wrestling. I didn't even know this was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea. I thought there was just WWE. That was it. I didn't know about any of the other companies.
The stuff that comes on when you're in trouble at track.
Yes. That's all I thought there was. Mm-hmm. And then I stalked this boy at the gym for like a year.
Which is very appropriate. Knowing the pictures that I always see of just like you guys at the gym like all the time. You know, it's like, okay, that makes sense.
Yes. I had like my mom involved, my sister, her friends, my coworkers, the people that worked at the gym. I had everybody involved because I tried to get every little piece of information I could to like figure out who he was, if he was even available.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't at first, so then I kept asking and kept asking.
I like this because it's a whole different angle. Because usually people are like, oh, I discovered it when I was 13 years old. Oh, I was like 5 on grandpa's knee, you know? But you're just like, I met a boy. And so when you found out he was a pro wrestler, what were your initial thoughts?
What is life? Like, what are you doing? I don't know.
Do you have a real plan? Is that
like, is this just for fun? Like, yeah. What's your real job? Mm-hmm. Like, that was like my question, but this is the real job.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you can make a living with it. Yeah. Crazy. It's a super crazy living. I've never even thought I would ever be involved in anything like this. Because I've been like, work, like, behind the desk, boring. I never thought you could, like, have legit fun at a job. And now you can.
That's
now I know
awesome.
You can.
So you mentioned about how you were just kind of the girl at the booth, you know, for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So how did that transition? Like at what point were you like, oh, hey, there's something to this? And or maybe I want to get out there?
It was never me asking.
Mm-hmm.
I never asked. It was actually a company that asked me. And I refused for the longest time. I was like, nope, not doing it. I was never the cheerleader type.
Mm-hmm.
I was never the one to be like center of attention in the crowd. I was like, I would be in teams and things like that. Like I was in drumline. I was a pole vaulter. Like that was off to the side. That wasn't like mainstream track. Like people weren't all watching that. And I bowled. So like my stuff was all like chill, like nothing like super like a cheerleader. And I, being a manager, I kind of pull that into, like, I am his cheerleader. So the first time I did it, I totally messed up. It's so embarrassing. But at least I messed up early and figured it out how to not, like.
Can we say, like who you debuted with? Somebody's asking in the chat room.
Shane Strickland.
Okay.
I believe it was at VAW.
Okay.
I believe it was him versus Shane Strickland. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was him. It was like an extra long match. It was that 5 more minutes match.
So not only did you debut out there in this promotion, but also like you had to be out there a while.
Yes. Well, no, I came from the crowd.
Oh, okay.
I was so scared.
Oh, that's right. I remember clips of that now.
Like my hair was a mess. I'm like, what was I thinking? It was actually Michael's cutoff. It was his Neon Ninja cutoff shirt. I was so scared. It's actually the first picture I believe we have with me on his shoulder holding his belt. That's our Miss Elizabeth pose.
So how did you grow into that role? Like, did Facade give you any kind of like pointers and kind of a mini training for what to deal with out there and how things work, or how did you kind of grow into that?
He is kind of, I was so scared. I won't lie. I took a shot the first time I ever did it. I was like, I need to just, and the shot didn't do anything, but like mentally it did just because.
Something to help you out.
Yeah. Just to help me out. But from that point, I didn't ever need it. He just said, be confident and focus on me. Which was him, focusing on him and, like, reacting to what was actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
So me actually reacting was making it more realistic, and it is realistic. Like, you see me out there, I'm legit freaking out or super excited.
It helps having somebody with a relationship in there, too. And Facade does some crazy stuff.
Very scary sometimes, but I've high confidence in him and his in-ring work.
Mm-hmm.
Super, super high confidence. And now with him in India, he like literally, you look outside of his bedroom, and there's two rings right there. So I know he's getting in and out there to perfect his art.
So talk a little bit about the experience. You talked about how, you know, I know, following you guys and your social media and everything, trying to keep up, mind you. You guys are everywhere. I heard you were down at Joey Janela's spring break and WrestleMania weekend
crazy.
Last year.
That was
year.
So fun.
Things
that was
like
so much
that.
Fun.
Some involvement in Evolve, mm-hmm. and just like all over the country, it seems.
Well, at first it was just kind of local, like close to 3-4 hours. So.
And the cops are coming. Don't worry about that. Don't worry. But, nothing to see here.
But then we started going. We went. The farthest I was going with him was like Tennessee. And then Jason Kincaid had messaged him and Chris Hero. They got us up to Canada for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was our longest trip together. And that was for when Chris here did that, the longest wrestling. I forget how many hours he did, but just guys kept rotating.
Like hour match he did?
No, it was like hours.
Like couple hour match. Yeah.
And he just like had a towel. He didn't even finish a whole gallon of water the whole time doing it. It was insane. But it was definitely a lot of fun. That was a good weekend. But that started us in Canada. And then we started going back like every month, sometimes twice a month, depending. And then we drove down to Florida, and then we just, I don't know, people just started messaging him, and next thing we know, he's going to Russia. And then Singapore, Malaysia. So he definitely got to go a lot of crazy countries. Like the one weekend, or actually it was 1 month, it was a different country every week. It was like USA, Canada, Singapore, I believe. And then went straight to Mexico. Jeez. With Gory.
Jeez. And I know Gory's been doing real well in Mexico. Of course, Shima as well, that whole crew.
Mm-hmm.
I love to see this crew has been, like, trained around the same time and have become world travelers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course, Shima on TV with Impact Wrestling and everything, too. It's been really cool to see that kind of crew get out there. Like, our Pittsburgh guys.
Yeah, and I got to go whenever I went to Russia with, Michael. Shima was there, too. Like, DJZ, however you want to call him. I call him Shima.
He's always going to be Shima to most of us who are in the area. And I always think it's funny because I always say Shima has, like, he's got, like, a wrestler exchange program because, like, he'd come back with a couple of Russians.
How we got to Russia the first time, like, through him, because we ended up, like, driving them because they were at a hotel when Michael and I just drove in places, took them to shows.
If Shima's on the show and there's somebody showing up that's probably from a different country or is a lucha wrestler from America, he probably came with Shima.
Exactly.
Like, you can kind of see the formula.
Yes. She would bring some awesome people around.
That's awesome. So, you know, obviously you're getting to, I've seen you getting physical a few times in there.
A couple times.
Yes.
I got to do it.
But I know you're not doing much of it, and there's a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I read your story, you know, when you posted on Facebook about it, and of course there was a fundraiser recently for some surgery that you had. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about that issue?
So I got dropped on concrete, my face. nothing else got hurt except for my knuckles.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I have like all these scar tissues on my nose and everything. I actually bit halfway through my tongue. The inside of like my lip was all ground meat and they like stitched all back up. I ended up losing one full tooth. I tried to keep it. They wouldn't let me keep them. I'm like, it's my tooth. Why can't I keep my tooth? They're like, nope, we need to keep them.
I had the same argument about my tonsils. So, yeah.
We picked it up off the ground. Like, it's my tooth. I didn't even have to give
it
to
it's
you.
Like, it's like Mick Foley's ear, right? It's like, why can't I keep that?
Doesn't make any sense. And then, like, the rest of my teeth are all, like, this all through my mouth. So, I had braces in, like, 9th grade. Mm-hmm. And then I had braces again. I think it was junior year of college, so it was 2010 is when this happened, April 2010. And so we went to the hospital, had that, I couldn't eat. My mom made me, like, this is the only real memory I have from, like, the food I was eating. I know it was just liquids, but she made me stir fry and she blended it. And I ate it through, like, a syringe. It was, I don't remember the taste. I don't remember anything, but I do know my mom made stir fry and I ate it. Liquid stir fry. I do not recommend it. But from there, I had a flipper, just a single tooth flipper after those braces came off. And that's just what I wore it. I'd do like little party tricks and pop it out every now and again, like in the middle of conversation, and it would like freak people out. So that
when you're bored of the conversation, you just go bloop.
Just drop it, yeah. And people would be like, what? What just happened? And, but then my teeth started like dying, and I just kept getting root canal after root canal. And I'm like, oh, this is so annoying. And then the color started changing. So I'm like, this. And that was right when I like met Michael. And I started being in like the public eye more than I ever was before. And I'm like, this is, I don't know about this. I was getting a little self-conscious about it. Mm-hmm. So I got a new dentist that my dad was going to. And he was like, we can do a crown. I was like, okay. Like he was ready to go. Like instantly.
I'm sorry.
The blonde hair.
It's a serious story, and I'm like trying to keep this fake hair out of my nose.
I kind
of
like it though. It's just like fancy.
It reminds me of my old long hair a little bit.
I think you should grow it back. Oh,
we tried that a year ago.
She's like, no.
Wife's looking at me.
Please don't.
She misses it. Anyways.
So I saw this dentist, and actually, it happened. We ended up doing it right when Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies, the premiere was happening.
I'm sorry. I remember watching that.
Because I went to the premiere and I had like super white teeth, but they weren't even teeth. It was just a mold because he had ground down on my teeth that I had left so that the crown could like get cemented in there. So it was just molding. I don't like he molded the teeth. And that's what I had at that premiere. And then a week later, he cemented the teeth in. And it was great at first.
So when you were talking, like you kind of made a comment about how you were like literally worried your teeth were going to fall out during, like if you did more than what you do now, right?
My teeth did fall out before.
Really?
In Canada. It was facade versus... I'm so mad I just forgot his name. Stu Grayson.
Okay.
Stu. It was the best match ever. Like, it was a really, really good match. And going there, I was like, my teeth do not feel right. Like, we were there for a whole weekend, and I wasn't eating because I was afraid. It was just kind of, like, real loose on me. So I'm like, whatever. I can't do too much today, like, out there. I'm going to, like, still cheer you on and everything, but I really don't want any – I'm hoping I don't have to get involved with anything. And so the match ends. We all go in the back, and I went to, like, tell them how amazing the match was, and they fell. And I just grabbed my mouth, and I started crying. I found Michael, and I'm like, we got to go. Mm-hmm. Like, right now, I was like, I don't care about merch. Like, go pack the merch up. We are leaving, like, this second. Like, probably going home in our gear. So he's like, what? And I'm like, move my hand. I'm like, they're not in. They're just, like, floating around. I was holding it up with my tongue. Mm-hmm. It was, like, the scariest thing ever. It was, like, embarrassing and scary at the same time. So we stopped.
But thankfully, it did not happen in the match.
No, but it was literally seconds after we got into the back. I'm like, thank the Lord that it happened back here, not when I was out there. But we went to some, like a Rite Aid style kind of thing in Canada. Michael got me.
We can just call it Canadian Rite Aid.
Canadian Rite Aid? We went to a Canadian Rite Aid. And Michael got me some denture cream and some biotin mouthwash. And I swished my mouth out with the biotin, and then put denture cream on my bridge. Because at this point, like I said, I wasn't eating all weekend.
Yeah.
And I was starving. And I was just, like, mentally gone. So put them in with the denture cream. So I carried denture cream with me everywhere. Like, from that point on, you will always find denture cream in my backpack. Put them in.
Hey, you know, if you're going to share something with Jerry Lawler, I mean.
Oh, that's our connection.
Well, okay. you got something to relate to when you're on the Legends shows now.
Okay. I'll right? take it. Any kind of connection can start any kind of story.
Exactly. See, listen, Honky Tonk, how do you deal with the situation? Because I know, no way those pearly whites are still
no,
okay.
These aren't real either. Oh, one little thing I forgot. I had to put his bandana on. That's how I walked out. And that's how we drove to the Canadian Rite Aid. I had his, I think I have a picture. I'll have to find it and send it to you for this. And I just had that on. And then we ended up getting pizza, and I slowly ate pizza. I pretty much probably just swallowed it. I don't think I even really chewed it. And that was an 8-hour drive home.
Jeez.
And the whole time, this is when we had, I don't know what phone service, but we had no service. So I was unable to get a hold of my mom. I had to be at work at 5 a.m., which I was not going to. I had to get a hold of my dentist to, like, get these cemented back in. Mm-hmm. So the second we hit the border, I'm blowing my mom up. I'm like, call work. I was like, here's all of my manager's numbers. Call them. Tell them I cannot come in. My teeth fell out. Please call the dentist. Call the dentist. Please call the dentist and, like, tell them I need to be in there. So they got me in the dentist at, like, 6 a.m. the next morning. And he cemented it back in. But it was, like, and then they stayed in for a while. That was the worst thing in the entire world. So at that point, I felt stuck. I'm like, I'm stuck. There's nothing I can do. It's so expensive to go next step to, like, mm-hmm. do the implants. So I felt stuck there. And I felt stuck living in the area we are because that was the only dentist that I could go to, like, that I could call him and he'd be there.
Mm-hmm.
And we later found out my teeth were decaying. So the cement was never going to work. So I'm like, oh, my God.
It's basically you cement it and then it would decay and, like, lose the grip because it's just gone.
So, like, from all the trauma and everything, mm-hmm. from, like, the hit. And also he said it could possibly, because I've had asthma my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And inhalers, it's medicine going in your mouth. You're not told, or you weren't told back then, to wash your mouth out every time you took it. So all that medicine is just sitting on your teeth.
Oh.
So he said a lot of asthma patients that had asthma as kids now are coming out, teeth are decaying from the inside. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, well, I guess I have to, like, do something about this. And then our one friend Janice had messaged me saying that a girl I actually went to high school with worked at a maxillofacial surgeon, and I should go meet up with him. And I'm like, I'm going to search around first. Like, staying, like, locally is really, really expensive. Mm-hmm. So I searched around, and one of our friends over from Remix, his mom works at a dentist, and I went there. And they were awesome, and they pulled my – the only reason they were staying in at this point, like, this is, like, 2 years down the line now, was because I had another root canal, and that plug was holding my teeth in. So when he came and, like, well, I went there, and he cut my teeth off and then made another molding, and they were just in with temporary posts until I figured out what I was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was probably about another 6-7 months. And then I finally went and saw this doctor that our friend Janice told us about. And we scheduled it. My mom, I actually skipped out on doing a travel with Shima and Michael down to Tennessee because I made an appointment for, like, super early the next morning. There was no way I would make it back.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I didn't go.
And knowing Shima's traveling issues, yeah. I mean, if you guys don't know, if you haven't watched Fake Fights and Missed Flights, And I think
his was it
on there? He was telling or one of our shows where he booked something to go to Pittsburgh to Tennessee, but when he booked it, he didn't realize like it made sense in flights, but it didn't make sense in driving. Because it was, he was with Facade. I remember that. Because it turned out to be 9 hours to get to the venue, and they thought it was like five. Because it was five from Chicago, but they were coming from Pittsburgh.
They were coming from IWC. They left from IWC.
Yeah, so it was like this insane thing, and they were like running their ass off trying to get it like a 9 hour drive down. And like, you know, they left too late, basically, because they expected
Because we all went and got food, and then they left, and I went home. And. Yeah, because Michael drove with him because I was going to drive and I was going to ride back with Shima because Michael had to fly to Detroit for something. And it fell through for me, so Shima had to drive back by himself. I felt a little bit bad. I was like, that could have been a crazy time. I don't even know what could have happened.
Awesome. So you had it. You had a I think it was a GoFundMe or something online. And
I did a GoFundMe. It didn't really work. And so I haven't really posted about it at all. It's kind of a lost cause. People definitely helped me out a little bit with figuring out how to get to the doctor I'm at now.
Yeah.
They helped pay for it helped pay for all those appointments and the little things that the Dr. Mason in Ohio, or actually it's Parkersburg, West Virginia is where it was. They helped pay for that. Like with the temporary posts before I have these now.
But it definitely there was a great outpouring from the fans on there that I was seeing like around your posts on social media and everything. That's not you. So it was really cool to see that going on too.
It was good, and I appreciate anybody that helped me. It definitely kicked my butt to be like, I just need to do it. And then when Michael got the call from the great Khali, I was like,
wait. we're gonna go to this when he gets back into the States and I have a chance to talk about. Did he legit get a call from the great Khali himself?
Yes. Holy we were shit. Meeting We were meeting
Was there a lot of what's is there?
It was a lot of I think this is a prank call. I'm going to let him tell that story because he tells it way better.
Oh, of course. But it's a little preview for down the line. And I hope Riz is listening to this one because he's the biggest great Khali fan.
We had to wait because he was on the phone with him. Like, we were driving. I was working. He was working. And we were meeting to go to the movies after work. And as he's driving, he's on the phone. I'm like, come on. The movie starts in 5 minutes. Let's go. He's like, oh, my goodness. This can't be that important. I was like, if it's your mom or your sister or anybody, just tell them we'll call them back. The movie's about to start. He's like, stop. I'm like, fine. So he gets out of the car and he's like, just like shocked. He's like, I need to download an app and we need to go inside. I'm like, okay. So he sat in the massage chairs while he talked to the great Khali for an hour. And then we went and saw a movie. I forget what the movie was because it was, I don't even know. It's probably one of the superhero movies.
Not as amazing as a hour conversation with the great Khali. but then we'll get details on that here at a later date. So you went from not really being in the wrestling thing, kind of question this, to now being a part of it. Are you more of a watcher now? Are you into it more? I mean, as a whole now?
As a whole, yes. I think about everything from how can I make myself better prior to getting the final surgery done, because I've only had the bone graft, so I still need to get the implants, to how can I watch to learn what to do, what not to do. Should I watch old stuff or should I just stay with the new stuff, because everything's evolving so quickly now. It's not what it was. And should I watch? I don't personally like watching matches that I'm in because I judge myself so much. I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, I look so weird and things like that. But I watch, if I'm home, I'm watching Raw, SmackDown, NXT, the pay-per-views. I'm like, nope, sorry, can't decorate. I'm watching the pay-per-view. I'm going to stay up late. I'm watching wrestling. And I'm trying to go to some shows as much as I can while he's gone. But all of our shows are so far away that driving 4.5 hours to watch a show that we were on is it's a little hard by yourself. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not going to be on it and have to be at work super early. But I don't know. I am definitely way more into it. Things are looking bright for the future. And I'm excited to get these surgeries done. I just have one more. Hopefully it's in March, and then I'll have real teeth in September. So happy birthday to me. But up to that, like, I haven't really set foot in the ring. I want to, but I want this to heal. I don't want to do something to mess it up and, like, make the process even longer because it's already been so long. But back to, like, right when he got that phone call, I was like, that's it. You're gone for 6 months. I'm doing this surgery. I'm doing it. So literally he left on August 16th and I got my surgery exactly a week later, like to the day, Wednesday and a Wednesday.
So when he comes back, you'll be ready to go more
when
or less.
When he gets back, it's going to, the second surgery is second just surgery, happening. But so I only, because we thought it was only going to be 6 months, but I didn't know I didn't have any bone. So they had to do a bone graft. So it added 6 additional months, but whatever, the process has started. There's no going back now. I got these fake white teeth right now. they suffice. I just can't eat with them. So if you ever see me out in a restaurant and I'm like being a little weird to you, it's because I don't got my teeth in.
That's okay. My dad does that to me all the time now. what is the best and worst thing about being around indie wrestling for you so far?
The best and the worst? Best is getting to be with Michael all the time. Because most people don't even get to be with their significant other nearly as much as we have been. So, like, this whole India thing is a shock because we were, like, we lived together. We traveled together. We worked together, like, always together. So I guess best and worst could be that you get to travel together and you get separated a lot. But at this point now I know we'll be able to handle it if in the future, like, anything happens and he has to go one way, I have to go another, or we get to travel together, we'll be okay. We'll be good.
That's awesome.
So the worst is definitely the distance, but now we got Facebook Messenger, Snapchat. So you're always connected as long as India doesn't turn off their data. That happened for a week and I was like freaking out. I'm like, oh my gosh. But I could still call him. I finally called, which that was like a $50 phone call, but I got to actually talk to him. And he's like, they turned the data off.
Yeah, like, it was something. Data is off. There was something weird with one of the providers, so they just shut it off. Like I think they were like,
it was like something along some scandal thing was going on, and the guy that like owns the data was like in protest, shut it off.
So if if you're not concerned about that net neutrality idea here in America, we could be India. So just call your local Congress.
But they have pretty sweet like data. Like everybody's given a gig a day.
Oh, I blow through that.
but still, that's awesome. Blow through it.
That's good. That's good.
But a gig a day for free?
Yeah, that's great.
That's a lot.
That's awesome. Well, and also, it's such a big thing. And probably the infrastructure, like lined internet, is probably, this is turning into AwesomeCast. I apologize. But exactly, right? But anyways, back to wrestling. Hi.
Back to wrestling.
Where can people find you online?
I actually finally changed all my stuff because I had like 4 different things for every different social media. Mm-hmm. So now I'm all at Zebraap, ZEBRAAAP. And my Snapchat is Zebraap88.
Why Zebraap?
So I used to work at a kids' summer camp. It was called Camp Motorsport. And I was
not the Zubaz. She's wearing the Zubaz, of course, because as they do.
Always. Couldn't wear anything else. Literally, I wear Zubaz every single day. I have enough to go a whole month and not have to wash any.
It still cracks me up to see hentai come out in Zubaz.
Hey. I don't hate it. I don't
angry
hate it.
Mask guy, Zubaz. It's great.
Mean, funny.
Exactly.
But Zebraap means I was teaching a spy camp and we had to make code names. And the code names were 2 things that you love. And mine was zebras and I love dirt biking. So the Z is the zebra, and the brap is the dirt bike. So like brap, like brap, brap. So zebrap. That's how it came about. And the only person that calls me zebrap is Shima. He's the only one that like legit, he's like zebrap. It's not Danny. It's not
nothing. That seems like Shima. Yeah.
It's just zebrap. So I appreciate it. Because like my other one was Danny Moe. And my Facebook used to be H-Banger, which stood for Headbanger. Because I was like into heavy metal and Headbanger was my nickname.
Nice.
And then I turned into a Headbanger into Cement. So it all made sense. Everything does make sense in the end.
Man,
it really does.
I don't know if you thought about this, but like when you get to the point where you get into the wrestling and stuff, like her face was smashed on concrete. What do you think she's going to do to you? You know?
Like I can handle anything.
Exactly.
I'm gonna handle it.
The announcers being able to drop that fact in the middle of a women's match is gonna be amazing.
I'm excited to have my own match. Like once this is done and I continue my training, like I'm stoked.
Dream match, what would your dream first match be?
Dream first match. I feel like I really want to work Mephisto. I think it'd be fun.
She's been all over IWC this year. It's the first I've seen her in person. Amazing. She's an intimidating.
Yes.
Like for being like literally half my size, I still wouldn't. Yeah.
She works. She's such a hard worker and like she's dedicated.
Great. She's awesome.
So I would love to definitely work her. I don't know. I'd work any of the girls. I would. I think because everybody's kind of a different style, and I'm excited to see how I build my style from what I do just now.
I'm messing with my hair here. It's been a while.
I don't know. I'm excited to see where me being in the ring more takes me from what I am now, being part of the Neon Blondes as a pair rather than Danny Mo on her own.
You never know. Maybe a faction.
We could start a faction.
By the way, Ken says hi. He says that he bought a can of Surge from you. Thumbs up.
Hi, Ken. Thanks. I hope you still have it.
It's just on the shelf. I remember when you guys were selling Surge. I was just like, what?
That was like the weirdest, best thing ever.
Yeah, because I think
it made sense. He loved Surge. Like
and
he overdoses on Surge.
Surge wasn't widely available again, and you guys like figured out a place to get it from and just went for it, right?
Yeah.
Merchandise.
It worked.
Their merchandise area for these two like just looks like they brought Walmart with them. Like I don't know what
but
show
in the
I was
best
in.
Way.
In the best way. Like they're in a match.
Neon best way.
Yeah, I hadn't seen you guys for a while and I'm just like, did they get racks from Walmart? You know, to
you got every kind. We got hoodies, we got jackets, we got
and every neon color you want. Yes,
any color. We got sweatshirts. The hoodies. We don't sell the hoodies.
Explain your sweater to the people on audio or even people seeing video that maybe can't make that out.
This is Facade and I as the Grinch and Cindy. Pencilero drew us. Has the dreads. Has his bandana on it right there. Even has his kick pads and his tights, jacket, even down to the detail of his tape. And then I don't have a nose ring anymore, but you can't really see, but she even has a little nose ring for when I had a nose ring. So this is us. This is our Christmas shirt.
There you go. Some of the best merchandisers in indie wrestling that I know. So thanks so much for joining us and telling your story. And hopefully a year or so from now, we'll see you in the ring.
Hopefully.
Thanks
for having me.
Check her out. Follow her on the social media. And, of course, you can check out everything going on over at WrestlingMayhemShow.com or IndieWrestling.us. You can see her ringside with Facade. Just look them up on IndieWrestling.us on several of the shows over there. And of course, again, check us out and let us know anybody you'd like to see on the show. If you have somebody you see on the events page for IndieWrestling.us or Wrestling Mayhem Show Facebook, where we do live streams of these interviews, you can drop a line to goodtimes@WrestlingMayhemShow.com, 412-206-WMS0. The blonde hair is going to my head, apparently. It's all the chemicals, because this hair is everywhere. It's like the hair version of stripper glitter. It's everywhere in the studio. But anyways, check out everything. And until then, please support Indie Wrestling. Sick, sick, sick. You know how I act now. If you got a problem, come and see if I'm a back down. Steady sipping check now. This show is a member of the Sorgatron Media Podcast Network. Find out more at SorgatronMedia.com.